book of Proverbs, and we're at chapter 12, and reading just one verse, Proverbs, chapter 12, verse 25. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. There's another great translation of that. There's an old Quaker translator, and his name is Dr. Williams, and he made a translation, I suppose almost 100 years ago, and I think it's one of the great translations, although I'll stick to the Revised Version. But his translation of this verse is this. For the word heaviness, he puts the word anxiety. And when I looked it up in the Hebrew, I found that the Hebrew word that's translated heaviness here, it's translated anxiety many times. So that the old translator was right. And he said this, anxiety in the heart weighs it down. And you can see that that's just what this translation is saying. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. And he said, anxiety in the heart weighs it down. But here's the bit that he changed that I like. But a kind word maketh it glad. Did you see that translation? Anxiety in the heart weighs it down, but a kind word maketh it glad. You see, I want to take the little phrase out of this text this morning, a kind word. And I want to hold on to that. I believe that when Solomon gave his heart to seek out all things that were under the sun, it seems to me that he made a thorough study of words that come from human lips. I think if you go through the book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes, you will find this to be true. He seemed to know something about a kind word. And he knew exactly what a kind word could do. You remember he also said, a soft answer turneth away wrath. You see, I think that this wise man had studied this. Yes, he knew about the kind word, and he knew about the soft answer. He said a great statement when he said, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. You see, I'm sure that he put his mind to this, and that he had studied this thoroughly, and that he knew quite a lot about words that come from human lips. You see, words can be carnal. When Paul's talking about the assembly at Corinth, you know, he knew that they were split up into little companies, and sometimes an assembly gets little cliques of people. And there was a crowd over here who were saying, I am of Paul. They were all Paul. And then there's another crowd over here and there, I am of Apollos. And then there was another crowd, I am of Cephas. And some even said, I am of Christ, and making Christ the head of the little clique. And when Paul gets talking to them about this, he says, ye are yet corn. Words can be gone. When Peter looked at the Lord Jesus one day and said, all men forsake me, I will not forsake them. I will lay down my life for thee. It was only carnal talk. And a few moments later, when the Lord Jesus was talking about going to the cross, this book says Peter took him and rebuked him. Sort of turned him round, and I wonder, did he shake him? But the book says he rebuked him. He says, far be from me. And the Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan. Because the devil was talking through him now. Sometimes words are carnal, sometimes they're diabolical. You have to watch the old man talking through your lips. And you have to watch the devil talking through you too. Yes, the day that he said to the Lord Jesus, when Christ asked the question, whom say ye that I am? And Peter took a deep breath and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Lord Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that unto thee, but my Father which is from heaven. Talking spiritual now. Been at home with the Lord for a while. Yes, words can be carnal and diabolical. Yea, they can be spiritual. And a spiritual kind word will do mighty things. You know that words can be cruel. Yes, and sometimes Christians say things that are cruel. And when John is writing 3 John, he has to say to that little assembly, there's a man called Diotrephes in there. He just wants to be the boss of the assembly. He loves to have the preeminence. He's treating against us with malicious words. You're not in on this game, sure. There's nothing kind about that. Oh, words. How we want to watch the words. They can be carnal. They can be cruel. But they can be comforting. And they can be kind. And you will find all the wonderful kind things. And the comforting things, and the word fitly spoken, you will find them all about the Lord Jesus. Yes, you will find if you watch the words of the Lord Jesus. You know, a kind word here and a kind word there. And I fixed my heart the other day, wondering, what was the kindest word the Master ever spake? And that's setting yourself a task almost impossible. And one wouldn't want to be dogmatic about it, you know. But I have a feeling that that morning that he was teaching in the temple and he had the crowd round him listening to him. And in through the door burst the Pharisees, 3 or 4 of them, and they're dragging a woman and they throw her down and they say she was taken in adultery in the very act. And the book says she should be stoned. What sayest thou? It was a mighty moment, mind you. And mind you, some of the Pharisaical critics haven't got it right yet. Old fella said to me once, your master wouldn't obey the book. The book said she should be stoned, they wouldn't obey it. I said, who told you that the book said she should be stoned? That's what the Pharisee said, that wasn't true. There is nowhere in this book that this book says that she should be stoned. Nowhere. The book says that both of them should be stoned. Oh, if she was taken in the very act, what did they do with a man? Why then? Take him up a side alley, was he a Pharisee? And the Lord Jesus just didn't listen sort of way, he just stooped and wrote on the ground. Then he had a look at these boys. I wonder what they wrote on the ground. I always wonder that. I don't know, you see. I have a whole lot of ideas in my head, but they're no use because I don't know. I've often wondered, did he write this fellow's name on the ground? That must have shook the little bit. Scared the life out of me. And he looked around each one of them and he said, all right. He that hath no sin. Yes, mind you, to Big Paisley's credit, when Bernard had had a baby, and somebody said, what do you think of her now? He immediately said, he that hath no sin should cast the first stone. That will be always to his credit. Yes. I think, you know, it was a mighty moment when he hunted them all out. Oh, they were afraid of him. They just knew this man can look through you and he knows your innermost beings. And he knows everything about everything that goes through your mind and what you've done in the dark and all your sins and all the rest. And they left the room and went out. And the poor woman left there. And she's scared, you know. He said, hath no man condemned him? And she hung her head and said, no man, Lord. And I think this was the kindest word he ever said. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Yes, they all tell me that takes a bit of understanding. They say she was taken in the act, you know. It was adultery. And yet he's saying, neither do I condemn thee. Now, don't let's miss the whole story. When he said to her, go and sin no more, he was underlining the sin. No, he wasn't bypassing it at all. But I think this was very kind. I think this was understanding kindness. Because I think this old fella bluffed her. Many a woman has been bluffed, you know. By many a wicked man, too. Don't let's kick the woman all the time, for God's sake. Many a woman has been bluffed. I think the Lord understood the whole thing. And I think it was very kind of him to say, this is understanding kindness, neither do I condemn. Because I had to wonder about Mary at the tomb that morning. You remember her at the tomb? And everything's gone. And the day seems lost and the bottom's out of the boat and there's not a star of hope in the sky, and she's weeping. And many a soul has stood weeping at the tomb, and everything seems gone. And there comes a voice that says, Mary! But I think it was kind, you know. I know that he knew that's all was needed. My, she nearly jumped out of her sandals. And the day was bright now, and the burden was gone, and the load was lifted, and she said, Master. You know, he had just risen from the dead. And I think he was on his way to heaven, I'm sure about this, and I don't want to take up the time to prove it either. And I think he just stopped the chariot for a minute. He says, hold on a minute. Because out of the chariot it comes over. Yes, there are so many little touches in the book that you would wonder. but he did say some very kind things. But you know, not only does a kind word relieve anxiety, but I think we want to think about a kind word bringing victory. Wonder, do you remember when Jonathan came out to David? David was being hunted on the mountains like a partridge. And you know, Jonathan came out to him. And Jonathan said this to him. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. You know, it's a great thing when you can help a fellow who's in a bit of trouble. And said this unto him, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee." That was a very consoling kind of word. This was the king's son and he knew a lot of things. Said, "The hand of my father shall not find thee." And then he said this, "And thou shalt be king over Israel." Ooh, what a sort of revelation this was. "And I will be next unto thee." Oh, can you hear this word? You know, this is the king's son, and he's coming to this man that's in trouble. And it's a very kind word, because I can tell you he's surrendering a kingdom to do this. Yeah, the throne belonged to him. He was next in line. He says, "Look, David, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. My father will not find you. You'll be the king. I'll be next unto you." Yes. You see, a kind word relieves anxiety. I'm sure the woman was anxious as she lay in the sand there. I'm sure she was. I'm perfectly sure that Mary was just overcome with anxiety that morning. Yes, but a kind word not only relieves anxiety, but it ensures victory. My, this word is telling David that he'll be king. Wonder, do we ever go out of our way or do we ever sacrifice anything to just say a kind word to somebody just to assure them? Do we? Or do we do all this old critical business? You know, it does a lot more than this, because it does this. Not only does a kind word relieve anxiety and assure victory, but it silences irritability. It works in another way. Kind word we're at. You see, I can see Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. Must have been great when Jesus came to their house. Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And here's Mary just sitting down on the floor and just looking into the face. And he's just telling her wonderful things. And when the master preached, it was really thrilling. And then out through the curtain from the kitchen comes Martha, all in a blaze. And she just came through the curtain and said, "To the Lord, dost thou not care that she hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." She's all fussed up about something. She's just irritated, isn't she? Lost the temper. She's angry. Yeah. I think I can picture the master. Mary at his feet, he just lifted his eyes and said, with a smile, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but only one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, and it shall not be taken away from her." Oh, how kind that was. Just a kind word. Yes, I can see this kind word at work, and it not only relieves anxiety and assures victory and silences irritability, But a kind word can stamp reality upon a scene where there are so many questions. Let me tell you what I mean. I mean this. I can see John on the Isle of Patmos. Yes, he's held captive here. And he believes that his life is going to be taken from him, and it was. And of course there are questions going through his mind. Why? And when? And how? Why am I going to die here? When will they come, and how will I die? And I'm sure all these questions were going through his mind. And then out of the blue, as it were, comes a figure. And when John saw him, he knew him. It is the Son of Man. Oh, he had rested his head upon that breast. And here it is, you know. And it is almost 60 years later. Don't make any mistakes, you know. The book of Revelation was written somewhere about AD 93, or some of them say 96, and I don't know, but that will suit me. And here it is almost 60 years later, and it's the same Jesus. And there he is, and he's crowned with glory now. He's got a garment down to the foot, and his face is shining like the sun. Ah, but it's him all right. John fell at his feet as dead. And then the Lord laid his hand upon him and said, I am the first and the last. And should I take that up, I could prove his deity, of course. I am he that liveth and was dead, and he's the man of Calvary, of course. Behold, I am alive. Oh, to grasp the reality of these little words. I am alive. I am alive forevermore. Though the eternity is here. And I have the key of hell and of death. I've got the key of the door of death. I don't know what you're worrying about. This I believe with all my heart. I'm going down the corridor of time, and the door of death is down there somewhere. I don't know how far away it is. I only know that if Jesus tarries, I will die. But I will not die until he puts the key in the door and turns it. And he's trying to bring all this reality to this island where there are so many questions. Look, I'm God, you know. Make any mistakes about I'm the first and the last. Don't make any mistakes. I'm the man of Calvary. I am he that liveth and was dead. Don't make any mistakes about it. I am alive forevermore. I want to tell you this, John. Nobody can touch you till I put the key in the door. And the day that I want you to come home, I will allow them to do it, but not till then. Oh, when Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, he killed James, the brother of John, just like that with a sword. And the Lord stood by in heaven and allowed him to do so. Put the key in the door for James. But because Herod saw that this thing pleased the Jews, he proceeded to take Peter also. Go and take his head off in another day or two. Not on your life, is it? The Lord had already said to Peter, when thou shalt be old, you're going to live a long time. There's no rebel going to touch you. Oh, let's get this reality. You see, a kind word, this was a kind word, it came to John. He says, look, I've got the key. Don't make any mistakes about it. It's a kind word. And the kind word relieves anxiety. Neither do I condemn thee. And the kind word assures victory.
thou shalt be king.
And the kind word silences irritability.
So that the Lord would speak to us often. The kind word stamps reality on an island of questions. And the kind word reveals finality. Oh yes.
You know, when the Lord Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples, he said, "My little children, as I said unto the Jews, so now I say unto you, whether I go, ye cannot come. Believe in you."
And the moment he said this, their hearts dropped. They had been 3 years or 3 years and a half at his heels. And now he's saying, "I'm leaving you, you cannot come." And their hearts were filled with sorrow. And John 14 begins, taking up the story, "Let not your heart be troubled." Don't let it be troubled. You believe in God. Believe in God when you can't see him, then you can believe in me when you can't see me. I'm going. I'll tell you why I'm going. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'll tell you another wee bit of it. If I go and prepare a place for you, listen to it, I will come again, and that's a very kind word. That's finality. Oh, when Paul said the Lord himself should descend. Oh, this is wonderful. Yes, there are some in this meeting mourning this morning. Loved ones taken away. If the Lord should come today, the Lord himself, oh, that would be the final thing, wouldn't it? I think this is great to get the hold of this. You know, we're going down into this week, aren't we? And I think we're going to find folks who are anxious about things. Get their minds filled with anxiety about this and that and the other. Can you ask the Lord to fill you with the Spirit of God that you might speak a kind word to? That's a great thing. Now I'll tell you this, you might find some one of these days that somebody close beside you will lose their temper with you.
Kind words are a good thing. Oh, but God would just give us the inspiration at that moment to just use the soft.
And I'll tell you this, there are people with burning questions. Why and when and where and how and what and all the rest of it, you get question after question. Oh, if we can come with the kind word, I tell you.
Yes. There are those whose hearts are troubled,
who stand at wit's end corner, thinking all is lost. Need a kind word. This is a mighty thing. We do so much talking. We enter into almost every phrase of parliamentary debate and all the things that go on. When all that God might want us to do this week is to say, we would start being more like Christ, wouldn't we? May God help us for his name's sake.